Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
You want it to be a fast Friday and a fast focus Friday.
Afternoons on the Score.
This hour brought to you by Busey Bank.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You hear him on pre and post on the Score. You hear him at Bernstein and Holmes with us. He's the good. He's Pat Mannell. How's the boat, Pat? How you doing out there?
How do you know I'm on a boat?
Oh, I got sources and I follow you on Instagram.
That's my wife's fault. Yeah. The boat is wonderful. The weather down here is perfect in Florida.
Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Bless this ship and all who sail on her.
God. Thank God for log snapping, man.
What a smart
decision. It's a different kind of life. No wonder you named a beer after it.
I mean, the guy's on a boat right now in Florida. It was a great decision.
Haven't been on one of these before? A boat? Well, learned how to sail when I was six. Is that right? Really? I mean, I'm one like this, though. I mean, I had the whole front extended in order to fit the chopper up there. See that?
So we had a great culture in our locker room, and that's going to be hard to build. And we were very fortunate to have that. And I'm hoping the Bears right now have that, but it sounds like Matt Eberflus is allowing those guys to develop that, you know what I mean, to develop their culture and who they want to be.
Little gust there on the Gulf. Coming across.
My bad.
No, it's okay. It's tropical. makes me feel like I'm with you.
You're not.
I wish you were.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, that's enough of this jibber-jabbering. Let's cast off onto the high seas.
Sounds good.
You're good for me, too.
All right, Pat, go back to the water. Thank you, sir.
All right, I might have to crack a beer now. Thanks, guys.
Oh, we heard you put down the glass during the interview.
Yeah, but there was a sip.
No, that was water, guys. That was water.
Okay. Mm. We'll see you later, Pat.
Cannot confirm.
Cheers.
Yep, cheers.
I am your captain, Captain Jack.
And I'm your body captain. If the boat's rocking, don't come knocking.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It really was rude of us to interrupt Pat Manley's little daytime cruise down there in Florida in the Atlantic to talk Bears and Lovey. That was rude.
Somebody's got to be rude to that guy. He's got it too good, you know?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, the least we can do is help chop him down to size. I mean, I don't know if people realize we talk about it, the brilliance of becoming the long snapper and playing, was it 235 games?
245, yeah.
Yeah, 245. Counting. It's amazing. All that salary, all that time, all those years.
That
and
pension.
Very, very little wear and tear on the body, you know? I mean, like that guy has not had the beatdown that any other player who even lasted, what, 4 or 5 years in the NFL has experienced.
He was telling us at dinner, and I don't think this is betraying any confidence, is that he was like just, he was getting better at golf while he was playing.
Well, I think
that's not how it's supposed to be.
Maybe not.
You're supposed to be having like shoulder reconstruction surgery and like a hip dislocation.
Right.
And like,
you're supposed to be like lying in a dark room, letting your brain recover, you know?
Yeah, he was like learning how to hit like cut draws during training camp because he had perfected the art of long snapping.
Yeah, that ain't right.
It isn't. But I mean, we're obviously happy for him. even if you made the league minimum for 16 years.
And folks, that's not what he made.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But even if you did, it's a great gig. But yeah, that man signed some contracts. How much of Amazon Thursday Night Football Week 2 did you take in? It didn't have quite the bluster of Chiefs and Chargers, but it did feature Mitch Trubisky. I watched every snap. I'm curious how much you took in last night.
I watched quite a bit because I've got Nick Chubb in fantasy, and then I had a little fun with FanDuel doing some same-game parlays with Chubb and Kareem Hunt and picking the Browns to cover. And I wanted to watch Mitch and see what they were doing. So I had two screens going. I had that going, and I had our friend Adam Amin, who we're going to talk to at 3, with the Yankees broadcast on Fox last night, and Aaron Judge. Just the interesting moments there at that ballpark as it got very quiet as Judge was being expected to hit a home run and anything else was a failure, you know? But that was few and far between. So I had that. I had the sound up on Amazon, though. I watched a lot. I'm interested. I watched a bunch of pregame. I think the pregame show's good. I think they got a
Carissa
lot.
Carissa Thompson's great at television.
I think Fitzpatrick is much better than most first-year studio guys who are just fresh off the field. And Carissa Thompson is good. I agree. And with Whitworth and Tony Gonzalez knows what he's doing. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good pregame show.
Yeah. They've got a good crew, and Richard Sherman is obviously very opinionated as well. So yeah, I agree. It's a good cast. I had what I knew to be irrational sports fear happening while I was watching that first half, because the over-under plummeted. There were all these reports about wind and how windy it was going to be and how bad the offensive football was going to be. And, you know, Mitch Trubisky's passing yardage prop opened at 200. And by the time the game kicked off, it was 182. Like, everyone was expecting a slop fest, a low-scoring game, maybe 17-14, you know what I mean? Just a really ugly game. Mitch Trubisky had 2 75-yard touchdown drives in the first half. The Browns had a 61-yard and a 75-yard touchdown drive, or 79-yard touchdown drive in the first half.
Yeah, it was 14-13 in a hurry that
just
game.
Up and down the field, like crazy plays being made back and forth. And listen, Mitch was awful in the second half, and Mitch did not have a good game. But in the first half, I will admit to being like, is Jacoby Brissett better than Justin Fields? Oh my God, is Mitch Trubisky better than Justin Fields?
Whoa.
And then George Pickens had arguably the catch of the year, one of the guys that we talked about the Bears drafting in the second round.
That was my guy. That was,
and it was
straight
four
up
picks,
my dude.
But it was four picks behind Jaquan Brisker. He had said during the week that he thinks he's open on 90% of the routes he runs, and they're just not throwing him the ball. That was two games into his NFL career. And then he made a catch that at halftime, they spent 3 minutes debating whether or not it was better than the Odell Beckham one-handed catch.
Uh-huh.
So it was just I found myself having horrifying Bears flashes throughout the whole thing. I think the Pickens thing is valid. I think Jacoby Brissett at this moment is better than Justin Fields, but he's obviously been in the league for a long time. And obviously Mitch is not. And he just had a couple of nice moments in the first half. And that was just a fleeting fear that I had. But I found myself thinking, man, if Brissett and Mitch in those conditions can move the ball up and down the field, and the conditions were not nearly as bad as people thought it was going to be pregame, please God let Justin Fields look good against Lovie Smith and the Houston Texans at home.
He does need to look good this weekend. That's for sure. A couple things. For Mitch, a lot of the success was like moving pocket, getting him on the move, splitting the field in half, the stuff that eventually Matt Nagy had to do because Mitch can't do pocket passer stuff. I think he still can't do pocket passer stuff until proven otherwise. But Jacoby Brissett, I think he's a particular kind of journeyman quarterback. Like, he's a super capable one. Anytime you give him a shot for a while in an offense that he knows, he's going to be a guy that produces. Like, he had two stints in Indy in different years with 1 year of being a backup in between, where he's like, one was 3,000 yards, one was almost 3,000 yards, quarterback rating in the high 80s. Like, He's like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type of journeyman, or a Steve Berline, Chris Chandler, like one of these guys who will consistently get moved out for the flashier thing or the young hopeful thing. But he's not a Chase Daniel, like a career backup. He's like a guy who can play in this league. You know what I mean? And like some year, there's going to be some reason he comes in and takes a team on a deep playoff run. I think he's that guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's why they didn't try to do anything crazy to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo.
They probably
don't see any difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett.
I think I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett than I would Jimmy Garoppolo.
He seems to throw fewer interceptable passes.
You know, man, fewer balls into harm's way.
Yeah.
Be safe with the ball as you try to be as productive as you can be.
The other thing that I was thinking about with Jacoby as it related to Fields was he's definitely not the guy that's going to like drop back to pass and just like carve you up. And at the end of the game, you're going to have like 10 different guys with catches. Not that that's how their offense is built anyway.
Yeah.
But Amari Cooper and Njoku both had double-digit targets in the game.
Yeah, and like, Njoku's had a bad first couple of weeks, unproductive. And then last night, they're like, they obviously force-fed it to him, and it worked.
But yeah, but what are we talking about that the Bears need to do? Force it to Mooney, force it to Kmet. Like,
it's happening this weekend, Danny. It's happening.
But that's why I was thinking about it. Like, he was dropping back to pass and locking in on Amari Cooper and then throwing it to him. You know, and it worked. But it was very telegraphed. It was very obvious, but it was not complicated. But Nick Chubb is amazing. But hey, David Montgomery was pretty damn good last week. Like I felt like I was watching a Browns team that is not good, that does not have an explosive high ceiling, that the end of that game was really weird and fluky for the game to go over and for the Steelers teaser legs to lose with the touchdown at the end on the, you know, throwing the ball around on the kick return. Like the score was more lopsided than the actual game was. That could have gone either way until 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. But I found myself wondering, could Justin Fields have executed that game plan that Jacoby Brissett did last night against, even without T.J. Watt, a pretty talented defense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if he can.
No, I mean, it's patience, everybody. Hurry up and be patient. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hurry up, lock it in, and wait until the end of the year to make your declarations on Justin Fields. Hey, one thing on Pickens, by the way.
No, please. I want to talk more about that. Yeah, please.
Yeah, because that guy, he had a chance to make a catch in the end zone, and he tried to do it one-handed, and he didn't need to. And that is the fear for when you're that good. And Odell Beckham, to his credit, has not the rest of his life tried to make one-handed catches. He does it in practice. He does it in warm-ups and stuff like that. But Pickens, man, because we know there was some talk about him and his exuberance and coachability and yada yada, and who the hell knows. But man, I tell my son when we're playing catch, anytime you can use two hands, use two hands. And the great wide receivers do. It's only a one-hander when it has to be. Great catch. But if he's going to be that guy who's trying to do that just for fun, you know, in my opinion, then he needs some leadership. People need to get on the young kid.
He's three games in.
Yep.
It was an unbelievable highlight. And I was thinking about how two thoughts. One, how good does Jaquan Brisker have to be for it to be okay that you didn't take that guy? Because objectively, Pickens' position is more valuable in the modern NFL.
Yeah, but we don't know if Pickens is going to be what his potential allows.
I know.
Because one highlight doesn't do it for me. There were a lot of moments I was not impressed with him last night.
I'm not saying that one highlight, and I want to be
because he was my guy, you know.
I know, and I'm not saying that one highlight. And listen, Sky Moore has done nothing. Like he's not even getting onto the field in Kansas City. Obviously, a pretty deep team. Tyquan Thornton, the kid from Baylor in New England, hasn't done anything. Obviously, Mac Jones, not much. Alec Pierce dropped the touchdown in Week One, was then hurt in Week Two. I think he's back this week. The kid in Indy.
Where was Devin Duvernay taken? Late
after. I think so. So Mina Kimes tweeted this, and you and I have talked about this before. She said, it's obviously very early, but so far, all of the receivers taken early in the draft who have played, Wilson, London, Burks, Dotson, Pickens, look great. Seems more likely than not that the high hit rate on rookie receivers we've seen in recent years is a trend that's here to stay.
That's interesting. So, yeah, so like people like
Wilson from the Jets, London on the Falcons, Burks on the Titans, Dotson on Washington, Pickens on Pittsburgh. Because Pierce hasn't played a ton. Thornton isn't getting targets. Sky Moore's not getting onto the field. Those were the other second rounders taken around Brisker. Chris Olave, she did not mention, was a first round pick out of Ohio State to New Orleans. He has not had too many moments yet. We're two games in to these guys' career. So no declaration, obviously, but it makes you feel better that they'll get another shot at it next year, right? Whether it's with their first round pick or their second round pick or whatever. But just as we talk about evaluating Justin Fields, it feels like it's easier than ever, and maybe easier at that position than any other position, to make a successful rookie year jump from college to the pros, just because of how easy the passing game has gotten.
So doesn't that inform you that you can just get one next year? That if you really have...
Unless we go through this year and we don't feel like we got a real shot at evaluating Fields. You know, like, so yeah, yes. There will be someone next year, but that means...
And they have two first-round picks next year, right?
No. They just have a first-round pick.
Oh, they traded
a first-round pick away
to get
Justin Fields.
Right.
And now you just get one. And so no,
they seldom have one. It feels like two.
Yeah. They have one first-round pick next year. But it's they might need a left tackle. They need a receiver. They probably need a pass rusher.
Uh-huh. But the point is, if they're getting better at scouting and picking wide receivers as a league, which is what Mina is saying, that is a trend, then I would feel emboldened to go ahead and do it next year and fill other spots.
Guys are second round picks that are performing. There's a lot of them in every draft. But if Trent Dilfer says it's 30 to 36 starts, and at the end of this year we're going to be at 27 with Fields if he plays every game, that's just a huge percentage of those evaluation starts to go through with not a lot of talent at receiver, which is why I wanted a receiver with that second round pick. And we'll see what Brisker ends up being. We'll see what those four guys who went in the next six picks after. But Brisker was great week one. He didn't do much week two. He was great week one. So I'm not declaring victory there, but receiver is a more valuable position than, you know, strong safety. And just to see a guy have that level of offensive ceiling last night, whew, it'd be nice to have Justin Fields be able to throw to someone like that.
In a related story, is Velus Jones Jr. going to play this weekend? We'll find out. Dan Wiederer tweeted something as they were promoting the Take the North podcast, which you can listen to for a full preview of the game. Dan Wiederer and David Hall get you ready for Sunday. Follow Take the North in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts as Davis Mills and Justin Fields go head-to-head. He tweeted something, Danny, that those in the need to know about Justin Fields by January 9th crowd are going to be disappointed. And so I assume that means that he thinks that we're not going to know about Justin Fields by January 9th, or at least that the Bears are not going to go about this season with the all-out effort to know about Justin Fields. So that can be among the things we touch base with Dan on later on.
Yeah, we talked with him a little bit about that last week, and we'll definitely follow up on what's made him believe that even more coming up today at 4 o'clock. As you mentioned, Adam Amin at 3. No one knows the Houston Texans in media better than our guest at 3:30. But coming up next, the guy who most people would have agreed is the Bears' best player, is struggling through two games. There's lots of theories as to why. You hear them next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I love this. This is my type of party. I love this.
Afternoons on The Score.
Adam Amin at 3 o'clock. John McClain at 3:30. It's a contract year for Roquan Smith. He was a hold-in at training camp. He did not play in the preseason. And through two games, he has not really made an impact of any note on the field. The Texans are going to try to do to the Bears what the Packers did. Right? And it's now on film. That's what Jalen Johnson told us. He's like, once you show a weakness for the next 3 or 4 weeks until you prove that it's no longer a weakness, teams are going to keep trying to try you in the same way. So it's going to be Dameon Pierce trying to play the role of Aaron Jones, and the best way that the Bears have probably to stop that is a tackling machine linebacker like Roquan Smith.
We think that they're going to be coached up very hard all week and come out with a renewed focus on tackling and physicality, and he is the poster child for that, because when he's on, he tackles like a beast and chases down from side to side with incredible pursuit, and him being at his best would change the run defense a lot.
So let's hear from the team first, then a couple of our experts on it to see what the hell's going on. Alan Williams, Bears defensive coordinator, on what he sees and expects from Roquan Smith.
Still like what he's doing. I still like what he's doing. He leads our defense, or helps to lead our defense, because we have a lot of leaders out there. When he hits you, he hits you hard. He hits you tough. He processes quick, so a quick processor. So that means that when things are about to happen, he sees it in advance, and just expect Roquan to continue to get better and better and better. But I expect everyone on the defense to do that, not just Roquan. Really, it's not. He is in nickel. He goes away from the nickel, and so that's one thing. And then in base, he's stacked to the three or to the close call. And so he's really not playing a lot of different spots. He's playing in the same spot. It may be different from what he did last year and the assignments that he had, but in terms of the amount of things that he has, he's in the same spot. And it just, in this defense, and really in any defense, it takes a little bit to get used to, hey, the patterns of the defense, the type of things or the places that you go as you execute the defense. And so what you'll see is, as he gets more experience in it, as he gets the muscle memory, as he remembers, hey, I've had this play before, I recognize it, I did it in practice, I saw it on tape, now here it comes, you'll see that the guys are hitting their gaps faster downhill, those type of things. So you'll see each week that the guys will play faster.
Hope so. So he's saying that it's going to take time in the scheme, and as they go week to week, we're going to see him play faster. That's what you would expect the team to say, but I will say that it kind of sounds, and we'll get to it in a second here, but Dave Wannstedt was telling us something about scheme-related for Roquan Smith.
Yeah. Wani went down that same thing. I like hearing from Alan Williams, though. That was kind of cool. I like the way that he talks about defense, and we'll get a chance to hear from him a little bit more all through the year. But yeah, Wani is on Alan Williams' side in terms of what is affecting Roquan, right?
Yeah.
Does Roquan Smith look like a guy who knows exactly what his job should be in this defense right now?
I would say if he was in a meeting, he could probably answer every question for you. This is how it works with players that I got it that haven't been doing it all. And keep in mind, Roquan, well, he didn't do anything in training camp, did he?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
No preseason games.
Right.
I don't know how much he did in quarterback schools. I don't know how much he did in mini camps. So you're talking about a guy, and it gets players. You could sit there and go on the board, and he's talking and talk his way through stuff. Now you get out onto the practice field or in a game situation when it's going full speed and you're making checks and there's motions and there's shifts. It doesn't. It happens too fast if you haven't been doing it and doing it and doing it. So I think Roquan is going to get better and better. But I understand fully well what's going on. He just hasn't had enough work in this system, playing a different position on top of it.
So, but that's something that he can get better at week to week.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. He'll be 1,000%. They're going to play really good this week. I feel good about the Bears overall, including Justin Fields and the offense. I feel good about this one.
Man, the sound of that guy sounds like bourbon now to me, you know? Just feel a little buzz anytime I start to hear Dave talk football.
It is Friday. We could probably pour something. Why not? Why not? Yeah, it's true. We said we wanted to, like, you know, bring back some of the things that our experts say over the course of the week, but you're right. We got to do it with Dave after 4 o'clock, just so we feel a little bit better about pouring something. That was misleading. So Dave optimistic, the Bears optimistic. Pat Manley, on the subject of what the hell's going on with Roquan Smith, did not paint as flattering a picture.
He looks a little heavy. That's my opinion. I don't know. You know, he just looks heavy. Doesn't look as fast. Doesn't look as quick. Doesn't look as decisive. And I really think that's part of his hold-in. You know, the more you play football, the more you get in football shape, as everybody always talks about. And that's what I see. He just doesn't look like the Roquan Smith we've seen the last couple years. Last week was not a good week for him. Normally what he can do, if a lineman's coming out at him, he'll either beat you to the point or run behind you, which you're not supposed to do, quote unquote, but he'll beat you to the point where the running back's going. And he's not able to do that right now. And I don't know if that's because he's heavy, reps, whatever it is, but he just doesn't look the same as he has in the past. And I my guess is, if you ask the strength coach, Jim Arthur, he's probably going to say he's 10 pounds heavier than he's been in the past.
Good stuff from Pat, who doesn't usually go there. So does it have to be one or the other, Danny Parkins? Do we have to go to opposite poles here in this conversation?
No, I don't think so. You know, so Matt Adams is probably not going to play, according to Biggs, and he thinks that Roquan is going to play, but Roquan also has some sort of hip injury. So it's weird. We have all of these variables. Mm-hmm. We have hip injury, scheme change.
Right.
Allegations of being 10 pounds too heavy, and the contract stuff. Like, he thinks that if he gets the franchise tag, he's probably going to get around, you know, $20 million a year for 1 year, but there's the long-term deal, and he demanded a trade. You know, so if Roquan's not 100%, is he going to play? Or is he going to try to preserve health for preserving money? And is he playing to protect himself out there? That was what the talk was about Lamar. Man, you're betting on yourself. You're a running quarterback. You could get hurt. Why not sign a contract? And Lamar, to his credit so far, is balling out. Roquan is not. It seems at least reasonable to wonder if he's not as explosive and physical and all that, if Roquan is playing a little cautious in the name of self-preservation. We're not there yet, but there's just, based on how camp went, I feel like it can't be completely discounted.
Yeah, this is an ugly mix. It's an ugly mix of factors, or it has potential to turn ugly, I should say. But at least he has a good agent that he can talk to for some advice and support.
That's true.
You know, in complicated times like these. You know, if we're going to, in terms of analyzing the play itself, I think it's Wani's positional switch theory having the effect on the mind of the player as he deals with maybe also being, you know, a quarter step slow because he's just a little bit not there in full on game shape because he hasn't played enough. Because, like, the stuff that Pat's talking about is really interesting to me, like how he usually dives under a block, right? Like, those kind of things. He'll cut through, which you're not supposed to do, but he's fast enough to do it. So that's what makes him special and makes him great, is that knowledge. It seems like you wouldn't have that knowledge in the new system just yet. It is a different perspective. It's a different spot he's standing at. Those are slightly different angles and different instincts to get locked in. So I very much lean towards patience with the positional process, as hopefully he also gets into the exact game shape that he needs.
It's probably a little bit of everything.
And that's what it feels like. But the danger in the contract stuff is the playing cautious, like you're talking about. And Mully went even further this morning. Mully said, like, you know, if you're him and you're a little banged up, do you just not play? Is it better to go ahead and not play and put yourself at risk, which is a scary extent to take that bit of logic, but understandable.
It was just I keep going back to the Aaron Jones touchdown where Alan Lazard blocked him off the play. Like, bad hip, weird contract, positional change. That shouldn't be happening to any version of a Roquan Smith who's out there on the field. Adam Amin is the voice of the Bulls. We can talk Lonzo with him. He thought he had Roger Maris's tying home run for Roger Maris from Aaron Judge last night. Did he get faked out by the call? He did the Yankees game last night. He works with A.J. Pierzynski, and he's calling Jalen Hurts' game this weekend. Let's have a wide-ranging conversation with Adam Amin next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.